Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Today's video is brought to you by Predictable Revenue's service LinkedIn Outbound. Find out how we can leverage and grow your existing LinkedIn network to book meetings into your calendar at the link below.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about why SDRs should set their own targets with my guest, Mark Garrett Hayes. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
So if you are not letting your SDRs hit their own targets, you're missing out on your SDR's best performance for a couple of reasons. We're going to talk about these in much more detail in a little bit here, but SDRs who have grit and resilience smash their goals. And managers, you're not going to have to chase down your team. They'll be doing it on their own. So my guest, Mark, is the host of the Inside Sales Podcast and managing director of InsideSalesCoach.com, a specialist firm providing remote sales coaching to inside sales teams internationally. We're going to cover why SDRs should set their own targets, what that actually looks like in practice for SDRs and sales leaders, and what results you can expect from this model. So tell me, Mark, why should SDRs set their own targets?
Well, the way I explain this to clients when they're trying to understand the importance of coaching to performance is that ultimately organizations are they're led from the top down. We have a vision, we have a corporate goal, but actually real performance is created from the bottom up. When we bring people into our team, we're effectively treating them as the kind of building blocks of the organization. And we put a roof on the structure and we say, this is the goal and everyone understands this, but actually they don't necessarily understand this. When people bring their best why, the thing that actually makes them the best person to fill that role, that represents to my mind a brick, a strong brick, and enough strong bricks make a strong wall and you get a strong building. So when we focus on helping people to fit into an organization, it's not just their role, it's their purpose, it's their passion, it's their power, because this is exactly what helps organizations to get the very best from people and ultimately to protect their people investment. There's a huge amount of churn in inside sales, and this worries me. And I often find that when people slip from high performance into low performance, it's often because they kind of disconnect from their goals. They don't understand or can't see why what they're doing is actually in their interest. So if I'm focused on someone's performance, it's their inner game, it's their mental game. And this is why target setting helps us to achieve corporate goals. It's a long-winded answer, but that's my answer to that question.
Honestly, it totally makes sense to me. And something you mentioned in a previous discussion is you've kind of come up with a new word to define the types of goals that you set. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a bit theoretical, but here goes. So ultimately, when we talk with people about goal setting, we focus on things like qualitative goal setting. So we use language adverbs to describe things. We describe them in terms of good or strong or quick or fast or powerful or profitable. That's qualitative language. Quantitative language is when we add numbers to the mix. We talk about perhaps, 142% to goal. We use numbers to track performance. So numerical language. But I had a thought about a month ago in writing a blog, and I thought there's something missing here. What is missing? And to my mind, it's what I call quantitative, and that's my word. I've had a look around. I couldn't find this word anywhere else. I'm not sure if I'm breaking rules in the English language, but too often we focus on qualitative goal setting, so qualitative language, quantitative description, things like numbers, but the quantitative, that's missing. So what does quantitative mean? So the Latin word quantus is, in English, how great. Which is great. So when I think of it, the thing that makes a goal really purposeful and something that's attractive and something that we gravitate towards as people is the emotional side of things. So when I'm thinking of helping people and coaching people to connect their why with what they have to do, their why to their what to their roles, I really help them to focus on what's in it for them. if we can help people to understand not just what to do and how to measure it, that's the qualitative and quantitative, but the quantitative, that's the how great this goal is. The how great really answers the question, how can we exceed our targets and do it consistently? This is where real resilience is built into a team. It's the inner game. It's the will, not just the skill. So I think that we need to focus on not just building goals in terms of targets, but goals in terms of emotion, connecting people's why with what they have to do.
Got it. Now, if you're an SDR that's watching right now, I want you to pause the episode and consider this question. What is your why? You've just started working in a new company, whether you've been working there for a long time and maybe haven't ever considered this particular question, just take a second and think, what is my why? Or what am I using as my current why? And maybe that might change. But once you've kind of thought of that and you've jotted it down, Mark, how can an SDR find their why?
I think actually the best SDRs already have their strong why. What coaching does is it helps them to get excited about their personal goals. So I'm thinking of someone I had recently on the podcast, the Inside Sales Coach podcast, someone called Caroline McChrystal. And she hasn't, by her own admission, a very in-depth sales background. But last year in 2019, she won Most Distinguished Saleswoman of the Year Award 2019 in Europe. And this is up against over 2,000 nominees from 14 categories, including, I'm delighted to say, beating field sales, beating pre-sales, beating sales manager categories, 14 categories in all. Wow. And what was interesting in the interview is that she didn't have to have someone sit down with her and help her to set goals. She came with that powerful why. And I was curious. I said, you know, what is it that makes you so successful? She actually won, best woman in inside sales as well, but beating all those categories, there must be something that's unusual. And it turns out it wasn't so unusual. She came in a quarter down into the company she works for. And with three quarters of the year to go, she beat everyone and tracking at 148% to goal. And this year she's on 142% to goal. So I thought, you know, what is it that you have done, Caroline, to achieve these results? And the answer is nothing special, not knowledge, not aptitude, but altitude. And altitude comes from your attitude. That's what I say. So she came along with this background in elite sports. She was therefore kind of conditioned to setting her own goals and to setting a big enough why to excite her. And I think part of what she does is to vision, actually play that mental game, connecting the vision that she wants to achieve with the thing that she's doing to connect the why to the how. So to my mind, and this is something that I did recently with a group of people in London, obviously before COVID, and this was with SAP, a large German tech company. So I had a bunch of inside salespeople in the room and I said, you know, before we begin, why are you here? And I think a lot of people looked at me as if there was something they were supposed to say. And I said, no, just back to basics here. Why are you here? Why do you come to work? Why do you do what you do? Why do you willingly put yourself in a role where you'll hear no's more often than you'll hear yes? Why often do you find that there's something in you that wants to keep going? And the answer is that they have a vision for themselves. So I began to show them pictures of the kinds of things that people in my experience often covet, the things they work towards, the things they plan to have. And that really got them excited. So I said, before we begin today's sales training, let's focus on why you're here and what is your mission. So I got people to write down the mission that they have for the next 5-10 years of their life. And all of a sudden, getting people's attention wasn't in any way work. It wasn't onerous. I had them literally like this because they were connecting what they're doing with why they're doing it for themselves. Mm-hmm. So it begins with, as Zig Ziglar said, you can have anything in life if you'll just help enough people to get what they want. So start with what you want. And a lot of sales managers, I think, are missing a trick because we look at someone in the role of an inside sales rep, SDR, BDM, on the phone. And when we're not coaching people, we're missing that opportunity not just to help them to improve, but to help them improve themselves. So we can help people to grow their why, their inner why, then managing them and leading them is less difficult. So I like SDRs when they join a team I'm coaching to literally spend a lot of time not just thinking about what they're doing, but thinking of those stretch goals. What will actually make me feel like I'm achieving, as Maslow called it, you know, the hierarchy, the triangle or the pyramid of all those parts of human motivation. It's self-actualization. What is it that's in it for me to do this job? If I do this, what do I get? If I do this, what do I get? So in a way, we're kind of encouraging selfishness, which is kind of strange. But I think, as Mike Weinberg called it in his book, Sales Management Simplified, we actually need the best salespeople to be selfishly productive. So when you're selfish in a positive sense, and you're really focused on what brings you to work, I'll come to in a moment about the kinds of things that spark that for me. I think you're the best version of yourself. I actually want people to be selfish and saying, I'm clear why I'm here today. I'm clear why I'm making this phone call. I'm clear how doing this again and again and again is going to get me to where I want to be. If it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. No one else will do it to the same level that I will. No one will ever focus on your goals to the same extent that you will. So if it's to be, it's up to you.
That's a nice phrase. I like that. Okay. Another chance to pause and have a think here. If you're a sales leader, your sales manager, SDR manager, VP sales, I want you to pause the episode and think about the team that you're managing and think about, as Mark said, when he comes in to train a team, the first thing he does is ask all these sales reps their why, because you know that that kind of foundational motivation is what's going to get them to achieve their goals in a professional sense. So think about your team and think about if you know why they're doing it. Think about if it would be a good idea now to have that conversation with them and set out these goals. Often we have professional development conversations with our teams, but it doesn't often get into that kind of personal reason of why are you here to begin with. So take a second to think about that and think about how much this could impact your team's performance if you have that knowledge underneath everything. And Mark, you mentioned that you like to bring up this question in the hiring process to kind of ensure that you're getting these strong candidates on the team. So tell me a little bit about how you might bring that up when you're looking to find the right people to fill spots on the team.
Yeah, great question. It's a bit like trying to make something out of nothing. If you start with the wrong material, and inside sales is a very particular game, very particular role, resilience is hugely important. So when I'm hiring salespeople, I'm putting away the CV. That's the first thing. To my mind, a CV is HR. That's retrospective. It's what they've done for other people. What I'm focused on is perspective, what they can do for me, what they can do for my team, what they can do for their employer, and what they can do for themselves. And interestingly, I found again and again three interesting things when engaging in conversations at the hiring process. I look for people, one, with a kind of a chip on their shoulder, people who have something to prove. And often when I think of the most important or the most interesting sales performers in the past, they're people who are conscious that they may not have a degree, they may not have this or this. And Caroline is an example. She was conscious that she hadn't come from this kind of traditional sales background, but she blew past other people because she really had something to prove. So a kind of a chip on the shoulder is sometimes an interesting thing to look for. The next thing is a desire to acquire. And we can't overlook this. Very often people have perhaps materialistic reasons to be in a sales role. That's fine with me. What is it that you want to achieve? Great. Let me help you as your manager. Let me coach you to achieve this. You have a target. That's fine. But the goal, the angle that you kick the ball at, that's up to you. So I'll help you to focus on your desires to acquire. The third thing that's quite interesting is, and you know, this actually did not occur to me originally. And then I thought about this. Why are these two people on a past sales team so productive? And both of them were actually single mothers. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Why? And I found that sometimes people have a passion to provide. They have a passion to provide. It's beyond themselves. So we want selfishly productive, but sometimes we want people who are selfishly providing, if that makes sense. They're focused on their families or their kids. And they've got a real passion to come in early, to turn up with a great mindset, and to do more than other people expect of them. So a chip on a shoulder, a desire to acquire, and a passion to provide. And those three things, you can't really train those things. They're not things you can say to a training provider, I want you to train this mindset into people's minds. It's what they come with to the business. And therefore, you know, thinking of the skill will matrix, which is a matrix used in management thinking, when I can connect people's will, that is their attitude at hiring time, I can develop their aptitude at training time, and I can increase their altitude at coaching time. But it starts with the hiring. Now, what do you do if you've got people who, well, perhaps they're not performing as well as they could? You come to this realization at some point when they're on your team. Well, this is where coaching will work that training in ways the training can't. So training is a transfer of information, but coaching is a production of transformation. So think of it this way. Training is information. Coaching is transformation. It's this mindset. It's this inner game. And I've worked with performers in the past who, for some reason, become disconnected, for some reason, hard to pin down, often I can't, with what they're doing and why they're doing it. But with one-to-one coaching time, you can help people to connect what they're able to do with what they want to do and get them to do more than they currently think they can do. And this is exactly what the remit of coaching is.
Right. Okay, so this is why SDRs should be setting their own targets, is because a personal driver is going to allow them to achieve more than if they just come in and they think their highest goal is just to achieve quota that day. Whereas if there's something else personal that's fueling that,
correct,
then they should be able to sail right past that target because there's kind of something underneath that's propelling them each day.
Correct.
So it makes total sense to me that for that reason, an SDR should be able to set their own target, because maybe they'd even set a higher one than you might have for your company because they want to compete with the people around them, whatever that thing is that kind of drives them personally.
Yeah. But we don't have to judge it, Sarah. We shouldn't judge it.
No.
And this is the thing, you know, it's not my role to judge people's goals. And I often say in a coaching one-to-one session, tell me why you're here. Really. Mm-hmm. Forget, there's no one around. I don't work for this company. I'm an external coach. Tell me, reveal to me why you're here. And often people get a bit flustered and they say, the reason I'm here is because X. And I say, that's fine. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this is the difficulty. If we're not really having a trusting relationship with an SDR, they may not reveal this. And if we can't get them to reveal often their inner goals, it's very hard to help them to achieve those goals. So it's crucial that people feel okay, whatever their reason is to be doing what they're doing, that's good enough. But just use that anchor, turn up the volume and really be clear, you know, are you here for this money or is it for something else? What are you here for? Whatever it is, let's help you achieve that.
That makes sense. Yeah, definitely can't judge. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think any sales rep I know is in the role because they are a huge passionate fan of the company itself and they desperately want to do sales for that company and that's why they're there.
It's true. It's reality.
Yeah. It is reality. We've all got these personal reasons that we're even going to work in the beginning of the day. So makes sense to me. So how do we actually implement this in practice then? People at a lot of companies are used to, of course, setting those targets top down, as we talked about at the beginning of the call. So how does an SDR setting their own targets look if we're actually trying to do it at a company now?
Well, in a way, when we bring someone into a team, we have them focused on, we'll call them work goals. I then like to work with people on a 100-day plan to come up with growth goals. These are things to, shall we say, acquire more knowledge or to do things slightly outside of their typical official remit. And then thirdly, to set stretch goals. And these are goals which might be almost big, hairy, scary goals. They're things which they may not think they can achieve. And we focus on creating that vision and then working backwards from there, kind of blue sky thinking, helping them to connect backwards what they have to do to get to where they want to be. And this is something that a sales manager can shepherd. You can coach this. And again, the idea of coaching is that we don't come up with a plan for them, but we help someone to devise a plan for their reasons. So it's using something like GROW, G-R-O-W, focusing on the goal, using our reality, helping people to realize any impediments or obstacles in their way. O is for opportunities, helping people to think of things they can do, they could do, they should do, they might do. And W then are the things they will do. And it's a very simple coaching model, G-R-O-W. It goes back to the 1980s. So John Whitman, if I recall properly. And ultimately, it's a very simple process to help someone cognitively come up with a plan which they own, they create or co-create with the coach or with the manager, and they assume responsibility for. So there's no, shall we say, checklist that people go through, but it's four simple steps using questionings, thinking, what is my goal? What are the realities or the things restricting me, impeding me from achieving these things? I have to identify them as the SDR. The opportunities are things that I could do. This is where we want this conversation to be exploratory, you know, using self-coaching. What is it that I want? What could I do to get there? What options and choices do I have? And then the will are the things I take responsibility for. Ability or responsibility comprises two words, response and ability. It's your ability to choose a response to a situation. So if we really believe in someone's power, someone's ability to direct themselves, to lead themselves, that is true responsibility. So I want people in the W part of the conversation to actually take ownership of the suggestions that they come up with themselves. So the most powerful, most important goals are not the goals which are imposed. They're the goals which are produced from within. So as a manager, I may have a target for you as an SDR. I may have a target for myself, for the team. But the goals, these things are highly emotional, or they ought to be. They're things which align the, as I said, the why with the how. And I find again, 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 when performance is a bit slipping or slow, it's having these conversations, getting people to actually come up with their own path forward. This does more than any training can ever do. And it amazes people when they can actually turn themselves around. And this is the pleasure of being a manager of a team of people who are self-influencing, self-motivating, self-directing. They're able to get themselves out of sticky situations. And there are three things I use in my coaching, three models or three parts to a model. The first one is to uncover. So if there are, for example, things in my way, I have to uncover them. I can't fix something unless I can identify what's between me and my goal. The next thing is to understand it, to question it. What is it that this thing, why is it this particular thing is causing problems? And then to unlock. And this is the third thing, the most important thing. I have to take responsibility for unlocking this thing. It's like a light bulb. I thought this would be an interesting prop for today's conversation. So in a way, we have this external surface, but the filament, this thing within, this is where the glow comes from. Mm-hmm. This is where the glow comes from. So when someone can understand something, having uncovered it as being an impediment, a problem, and they can unlock it themselves, and therefore they know the solution to their own problems, this helps them to move forward. And this is why any sports person in any sports sphere you can think of, all of them have coaches. Tiger Woods, champion. You know, who? Imagine someone coming back to win Augusta for the third time. I mean, after all the guy was through, what did it? It was the inner game. It's the coaching. It's the filament. It's that power within his light bulb, something internal that made him, in the face of adversity, come back and win, and win in style. And this is why, you know, I can give you the what, I can tell you the when, I can perhaps shape your how with training, but the why, that's the thing that comes within. And that's the thing that a coach can help you to find.
Mm-hmm. So sales managers, think again on that question that I asked, now that we've got the kind of understanding of why that's so important. And now that you have a kind of a way, a strategy to uncover these, the whys in your team. So jot down kind of the recap. If you do want to go away and have these conversations with your team, the first thing that we go through is the GROW acronym.
Yeah.
If you could just rattle off those.
Sure. G for goal. What is it you want? Not what I want for you as a manager, but what do you want for yourself and for your loved ones even? Mm-hmm. Goal, reality. These are the restrictions or impediments or obstacles. Identify them, describe them, quantify them. And then the next thing is O, opportunities. These are the things, the positive actions we can take. You have to come up with them as the coachee, the person being coached. I could give them to you, but that's not coaching. Okay, I want you to transform yourself. So helping people to uncover, to think for themselves, cognitively engage, identify those things. And then the W, will, is to extrapolate those things, prioritize them, make a choice, make a commitment, and then take responsibility for the action accordingly.
Great. So that's the GROW acronym. There are three kind of lengths of time of goals or types of goals that you want to talk to your people with. And what were those three?
They are your work tasks. They're the things I kind of expect you to do. The growth tasks, these are the kinds of things that I want you to do. And then the let's call them stretch tasks. These are the things that will convince me I have a top performer on my team. This is someone who's going to blow the target out of the water. So I want you also to think as a manager, are these the kinds of people who can step up and take on a team lead position? Are these the people who can take responsibility for leading other people? And if people aren't willing to take on stretch tasks, that's a clear sign they're not. Simple as that.
There you go. So if you're a sales manager right now, pause, jot all those things down so that at your next one-on-one or next professional development meeting with your team, you can have these types of conversations and see how much they will stretch and how much they will actually achieve if they weren't already achieving, or even exceed if they were already achieving their targets. And perfect transition, walk me through what the end result of this kind of setup looks like. What's the impact that you have seen, Mark, of having SDRs setting their own targets in the numbers? We've talked about kind of the emotional feeling behind it, but what are the target? How do they smash their targets in this?
Back to Caroline for a second. Yeah. She it was, when I spoke to her, on 142% to goal as of last week, in fact. And I'm thinking then, not just measuring in terms of numbers, but often performance attitude. I see people coming in on time. I see people having better conversations. I see people putting more work and thought into proposals. I see people having really clear dialogue with people, let's say at the C-suite level, and uncovering. So it isn't just about, shall we say, the numbers, but often it's the quality. It's the quality of the effort. So if I'm an inside sales and I know that my goal is to open up the conversation, not just close the deal, I find that when people are really clear on what it is they want for themselves and their goals, how they're going to get there, working backwards, thinking of GROW, they're willing to put in a cognitive level effort and to learn things. So they become kind of self-directing. And consistently, those people are the people who in time won't just hit targets, they'll smash them, because they'll ask better questions. They'll think about the organization, put themselves in the shoes of the prospect, really be curious about what is that organization's goals. What's it like to be in that person's shoes? So when I'm actually really on target, not just in terms of sales targets, but in terms of the business's goals and the business's mission, I'm able to have better conversations with people, open up bigger deals, not leave money on the table, be resilient again and again and again, going back to add value in a conversation. So I see massive performance, not just in aptitude, but also attitude. And that's very hard to measure. But ultimately, when you've got someone who's really on fire and they're cognitively engaged, they're a better person to work with, they're an easier person to lead, and they're much less of a worry as a performer. And so many people, obviously, with a high churn in inside sales, become, without enough coaching or touch points, they become sometimes slow performers. And I find that all of that disappears when people are cognitively engaged and mentally alert and proficient.
So if there are sales leaders, SDRs watching right now who want to now give this a go, what are the top three things that they need to consider when that SDR is now setting their own targets? What would you say are the first three steps they need to take to implement this as a plan?
Three things: why, when, and how. Often people start with the how, but the why is like the rocket fuel. You could put, I'm in Ireland, you could put turf in your rocket. It's not going to get very far. It's a bad joke. Or coal, but it's the quality of the fuel. So you can hire five salespeople, but it's the quality of the why. It's connecting the why. The when are the parts, the actions that I will take. My role to step up and do what I have to do. I want to commit to a will and a when. And then the how, that's the part I can actually work with my manager on, you know, giving me the technical ability, perhaps a course here, perhaps some information there, perhaps some training here, perhaps some access to some tool. But ultimately, if we want to sell, we have to excel. Simple as that. We've got to really be the very best we can be, because if it's to be, it's up to me. So I focus on three things: the why, then the when, and then the how.
Amazing. Well, to kind of recap all of that, and to reiterate what we chatted about at the beginning, if your SDRs are not doing this, you're missing out on your SDR's best performance. If they're setting their goals, if something personal is driving them, it's going to allow them to have grit, be resilient, smash their goals. Managers and sales leaders, you're not going to have to chase down your team, whether that's to show up on time to those calls, whether it's to actually hit their numbers and do hit their activity targets, all of these things. It makes total sense that you should have your SDRs be setting their own targets from some personal goal. So thank you so much, Mark, for sharing that all with us. Amazing examples and really an interesting perspective. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So Mark, if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about this, how can they do that?
InsideSalesCoach.com, InsideSalesCoach.com, and obviously the Inside Sales Coach podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and so on.
Perfect. And people can book a free professional review of up to 15 minutes of their sales team's calls today with you
as well. Yeah, that's optional. If people want to, they can book a recording. In other words, they can share discreetly, confidentially, recordings from their inside sales conversations, and we can give some immediate feedback, some actionable steps pointing out where people can actually make no-cost or low-cost improvements.
Perfect. So SDRs, sales leaders, keep that in mind. You've got that available to you. Thank you so much, Mark, for being a guest on the podcast today. And thank you everyone for watching. See you next time. Cool.
Okay. Cool.
Nice. That was great.
Yeah. Lots okay. Maybe I went off on a rant.
No, that's great. Honestly. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And because it's not a live webinar, people can pause. And that's why we try to throw in those little engagement pieces to remind people if they're just listening, they can stop. Yeah. They can write down the things that are important. But that was great.
Okay.
A really, really interesting perspective that I've never thought about that. I've never thought about focusing so heavily on everything that's underneath. You're always working on, like, why are people not hitting their targets? Because they're not making enough calls, or they're not sending enough emails, or they're not objection handling well enough or whatever. It's all these kind of,
but why?
What seem to be like symptomatic rather than.
Yes. And that's it. And often as a manager, this is the trouble, you know, someone, let's say HR put someone in my team. I know some people do this. They look at that person as almost like a cog in the wheel. Mm-hmm. They forget this and because they're not finding time to coach these people, they're not finding time to get to know these people. And if you don't get to know the people who are carrying your quota as a manager, how on earth can you lead them? Mm-hmm. And if you can't lead them, they can't lead themselves. So, you know, people think, well, often, you know, coaching, okay, that sounds like an expense. It is. But what's the cost to you of not coaching? As someone said, there's only one thing worse than investing in people and watching them leave. It's not investing them and watching them stay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Makes sense.
All right. Shout out to Predictable Revenues, Service LinkedIn Outbound, Service for sponsoring this video. As a founder and sales leader myself, I know most of the best practices in terms of like what I need to be doing on LinkedIn, but sometimes I just don't have the time. You know what the right things to do are, but it just comes down to a trade-off of where's my time better spent? And can I find somebody to click around on LinkedIn for me and book meetings, you know, and then I can focus on higher level activities. And so think about it. What's the best use of your time? If you're a founder, sales leader, and you have a team, you need some meetings, I'd encourage you to check it out. I'm using it myself. I'm obviously the founder, so eating our own dog food. But if you're curious, click the link below to learn more.